Well, tonight, brothers and sisters, I want to go over again Sunday's message. This is also partly a request. Some did ask again if I would preach this. And so this, of course, will be recorded tonight. And some of the saints were not able to be there on Sunday. And so I'm just going to believe the Lord will give the words, the unction. And for those of you who did take notes, you'll have this same title. And for those of you who haven't got notes, tonight we're calling this, The Mind is a Fortress to be Demolished. The mind is a fortress to be demolished. And I'm basing this tonight from something very familiar, Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 3 to 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through to 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Quite a work of the Spirit there that we read and see here. And the Apostle Paul confidently writes this to the Corinthians in connection to spiritual warfare. And so we know that the mind, as I so often tell you, the mind is a battleground, a battlefield. And much of our overcoming is with the mind, the thought realm, our thinking, our attitudes. I once heard years ago that behind every attitude is a demon. And I can well believe that. And how those very small things can so be amplified, and how the enemy tries to use it. If you look through history, you'll find that some of the world wars started through something so minor and insignificant. And that is how often the enemy can work. So the battle is in the mind. And this is where most of our overcoming, as we looked at on Sunday, is. You see, the mind is the planting ground of good or bad seed. And so we need to guard our minds. And our minds are guarded by the helmet of salvation, which we have in the full armor of God in Ephesians that it speaks of. And so God, through salvation, gives us that helmet of salvation. So you have to be born again, filled with the Spirit. God gives us that. But we have to maintain that. Like any armory, you can put it on and you can take it off, as it shows us in Ephesians. So through our salvation, we have the helmet of salvation. Why do we have the helmet of salvation? Because God knows exactly where the powers of darkness attack. They always go for the mind. And if the powers of darkness can get the mind, they get you, the person, the heart, the soul. Because everything is fed from the mind into our heart and spirit. The mind is the doorway, the gateway, if you like, through into the soul and heart of man. And so the enemy knows this, and this is where he tries to attack. And sadly, we find so many Christians can be so asleep to this, that they don't really have a full understanding, or they don't have much teaching with regard to their spiritual warfare, where so much of it is in the mind. And so I'm calling this tonight, The Mind is a Fortress to be Demolished, because in the Williams, it uses that analogy where the Apostle Paul speaks of, although I walk in the flesh, I do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so he speaks of this as a demolition, a demolishing of those thoughts and attitudes that are wrong. And if we're walking with God and we're overcoming daily and walking by faith, the Holy Spirit, who is sovereign, he is going to work this until we have another mind and another thinking that lines up with God's word. You see, everything that is negative doesn't line up with the word of God. And so we can only confess the word of God to the amount that our thinking and mind is right and in harmony with God's word and God's will. If the mind and thinking is wrong, then the confession will eventually come out. And if it's wrong, then it doesn't line up with confession with the word of God. And therefore God cannot and will not bless that. Romans 10 tells us about our salvation, that our words are to line up with salvation, with the new birth. What we confess is what we get. There's much in the word of God that speaks about confession. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You are the sum total in your thoughts, what you think. If you are thinking anger and aggression and hate, you are that. It might not be coming out yet, but it will eventually come out. You know, sometimes we've been with people, or we've seen it sometimes in our own family, haven't we? Where you've seen an uncle or an aunt or brother or sister, whatever it is, it's like it's welling up. You just know they're disturbed. There's not that peace. And it's suddenly, it all erupts. It comes out. And it's like you look at one and they say, that's what was really bugging them, wasn't it? It's all come out now. That was what was eating away. We were like that as well. It just consumes us. So why again is God doing this massive deliverance in our thinking and mind? Because as we at times are oppressed by these negative thoughts, it will in one way or another have a detrimental effect, whether mentally, spiritually, or psychologically. We know that, for example, where there's hate, resentment, unforgiveness, doctors will tell you this, that the body will react to such thinking, and that actually poisons are discharged through the system and hormonally because of hate and resentment. That's why some people can be so crippled with arthritis, because often you find what goes with that is also unforgiveness, resentment, hate, and so on. It's eating them up. It's there eating away in their thinking, their attitude. Well, God says, if you carry on walking with me and you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and being, he says he's going to demolish that because it is so contrary to the will of God. You see? And that is where the battle is on. Brothers and sisters, a lot of your battling in the mind, battling sometimes wrong thoughts, attitudes, are a clear indication that actually God is delivering you from that. Now the enemy likes to tell us, well, you'll never get free from that. You've always been thinking like that, and your mother had that problem, and her mother as well. You know, he gets so vocal, doesn't he? Well, why is he saying that? Because he knows that the Holy Spirit now is working a deliverance. He's going to demolish and obliterate that wrong thinking, because it's contrary to his standard, his will. That is holding unbelief and sin in your life, which God is freeing us from. Praise his name. But the battle is on when that starts. And that's why so often we find, and the Apostle Paul brings it out, the battle with the flesh and the life of the spirit. We're not really talking about two natures, but we're talking where the flesh and sin can reside within the heart. That is the battle. But the mind is often the gateway into that problem. You know, deranged people, people sadly who are held by strong demons who are insane, often it's said they're out of their mind. That's a clear indication. The mind is held and controlled by these demonic forces. The demoniac was a fine example of that. He was out of his mind. And it's told that when he was delivered, he was sound and in his mind. And they marveled. So we see how Satan can take hold of a mind of a person and make them quite deranged. Our problems at times is an oppression, not possession. And the enemy tries sometimes to work in this. So you see, the mind, as I've said, is that planting ground of good or bad seed. This is why we need the Word of God and the promises of God's Word, because as we're taking this, we're embracing these promises, we're praying about them, we're taking them, we're receiving them, what God gives to us, then we find the enemy tries to start to fight. Because he knows that as you are confessing, you have prayed, you want that change, that deliverance, he knows he's on his way out. And so along come the trials and the tests to try and avert you from your real deliverance, you see? He's clever. So firstly, we have to look in Scripture at the state of man's mind when born. And the Apostle speaks of this in Romans 7, verse 25. In Romans chapter 7, and verse 25. Romans 7, verse 25. And here he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now in this case, the Apostle, of course, is speaking about the law. And he knew the law. He was a Pharisee of the Sadducees. But he realized the flesh was the problem. He couldn't keep the whole of the law. In his mind, in his thinking, it was impossible. There's only one who could fulfill the demands of the law, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he got pretty well near it as a human person would go. But even he could find that there were things wrong. What was he saying there? The flesh, the mind, wrong thinking brings you under the law, because we cannot keep the law. And so you see, if you want to try and introduce the law into your Christian walk, you are opening your mind up to religious spirits, bondage. And Galatians clearly tells us, you start doing that and you are bringing yourself under the curse of the law, because that's what it does. You are taking yourself back under the law, which is a curse, because no man can keep it. Only one could, and Christ did. And so your faith and life is now in him. And through his grace and mercy, you now fulfill that law by grace. Why then put yourself back under the law that not even the Jews, not even the apostle himself could keep? Bondage. And yet you see religious people trying to keep the law, trying to keep festivities, certain aspects of the law. It's done away with. It is now fulfilled. Its demands. Nothing wrong with the law, only man couldn't keep it, but one could, and that was Jesus, because the law is holy. And so, man who is religious, and remember, Satan is a very religious fallen being, he tries to deceive people. If he can't get them in one way, he'll get them in another. So he'll try and bring professing Christians even back under the law. And I'm seeing this happening more and more in our circles. And it's particularly prevalent, it seems, to those who have such a zeal and interest in Israel. Now, we're all to have a zeal and interest in Israel, because we're told we're to pray for Israel. Because that's where the Lord Jesus is going to come and rule and reign. But what I'm seeing is in a circle today where they're using so much Old Testament and they're trying to bring people back under the law in connection with Israel. Israel doesn't want the law. The law never saved them. It caused them to perish in the wilderness. They need the grace, forgiveness, and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Messiah. Yet you've got some of these professing Christians who major more on the law than they do on grace. The law now to us is a principle by grace. You bring yourself under its law and you bring yourself under its curse. We fulfill things now by faith. And these people that tried to do this, they don't actually live and walk by faith. On the contrary, they trust quite implicitly in the arm of the flesh. And so much of this on Israel today majors around politics and Israel's political things. And they try so often to spiritualize this. I find there's a lot of confusion amongst those circles. And they're believers who do not have any understanding of the true body of Jesus Christ and its building, its fulfillment. They have very little understanding of the bride who makes herself ready, because they're so consumed with Israel, they've almost made Israel as the church today. Little realizing that we worship God now in spirit and in truth, and in the body of Christ is neither bond nor free, Jew nor slave, Greek nor Gentile, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. We offer up spiritual worship before God. Again, these are strong religious demons, and they take hold of man's mind. Praise God, we are sitting under an end time message of faith and deliverance that is setting the captives free. We're told, aren't we, that the God of this world has blinded the eyes, the mind of most. We were blinded. Our minds were closed to God, his ways, until the Lord stopped us in our tracks and turned us around and opened our eyes to the great. Grace and forgiveness. But if you are truly born again, you will begin to understand, and you begin to realize, if you're truly born again, that I have a battle that goes on at times, and that battle is in my mind. And sometimes, you know, you go through a period where you just feel you're going to go almost insane. It's like your mind is just being taken over. You know, and the enemy's trying to get you to lose your sleep, and you don't sleep well at night and everything. He's just trying to weaken you, weaken you, weaken you. And where does he start it? He starts it right in the thought realm, in the thinking. Because he knows that as a man thinks, so is he. If you think anxiety and fear, then you take that on. And your body eventually takes it on. And so it goes on. You know, medical science has got it so wrong today. They're all, I know I say this, and I will say it again, but they're all so concerned about what you consume and what you're eating, what you're taking in. Why are we not more concerned what is eating away at us inside? We need to get the mind and the thinking. And so these fortresses have to be demolished. We're going to look at this later on. Well, firstly, looking at this then, the mind has to feed off the Word of God for deliverance. And obviously, you have to be born again. So the Word plays an instrumental part, being the sword of the Spirit, in working that change, that deliverance, for the mind. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, which says here, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." So there you are, the new birth, a new creation in Christ. I have been given a sound mind. Now there is a confession. There is a promise. And when the enemy starts, Satan, you may try, but God says he has given me a sound mind, a mind after my Savior. And he'll flee. He can't stay for long. God has said he's given us that. Hallelujah. And so we receive it by faith. You may say, oh, well, my mind seems to be under a battle or whatever. Well, the enemy's just sometimes taking a while to let go, but he has to let go eventually. That is the whole point. So when you're under a battle, open that up. Confess it to the powers of darkness. That is what God has given me, a sound mind. It means a whole mind, a completed mind in Christ. That is what it is. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 16. And here he says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Well, there we are. Not only then do you have a sound mind, but you also have the mind of Christ. I often confess that. I am confessing that when I'm seeking God about a decision. I have to decide on something. I'm committing things to him. I thank you, Father. I have your mind, the mind of Christ. And you will show me what your mind is in this situation. Now, it may take a time. It doesn't always come immediately. But God will show us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your path, as it says in Proverbs. He will instruct us because we have the mind of Christ. And Satan's trying to get in and implant his mind and thinking in you. And he has no part of you. Believe me. So there we are. That is the first area. The mind has to feed off the Word of God. Because the Word of God is working deliverance. Tonight we're receiving deliverance by this Word, as God is casting down, demolishing these wrong attitudes and thoughts. You know, many times we can sit and we can listen to a word and suddenly you get like a deliverance. Gosh, I never saw that. It's like suddenly the lights come on. What is that? That's something where you were in darkness, you weren't seeing, has been dealt with. Now you see it, which you didn't see an hour earlier. Deliverance, change. Secondly, the mind has to be preserved and kept by the Holy Spirit, and that's essential. Let's turn to Philippians 4 and verse 7. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. So God says he gives us a sound mind. He says that we have the mind of Christ. So he's made those promises. So if he's given them to us, then he's got to preserve that. Got to keep that. So what does it say in Philippians 4 and verse 7? It says this. Hang on, wrong one, Colossians. Philippians, we want 4 verse 7. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Isn't that wonderful? God said, not only have we got the mind of Christ, a sound mind, but he says, "I'm going to preserve that mind for you. I'm going to keep it." Hallelujah. Little wonder the enemy tries to attack us where he does, because that's what he did with Adam and Eve. He wanted to get dominion, control over man's mind and thinking. Because he knew by controlling that, he could control them. And Satan, in nature, is a controller. And control is witchcraft. How do we know it? Because he wanted to be God. He wanted to control. And he and a third of the angels fell out of heaven. So that is, his nature is to control. And of course, we're going to see in these last days, as the Antichrist comes forth in that time, he comes forth as an angel of light, but he's in nature evil and a controller. Thirdly then, the mind has to be worked on, and here is the battle which I have been speaking about. And we see a difference first between the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. And again, we appeal back to the Apostle Paul in Romans, because he speaks much about this. In Romans chapter 8, verse 7, he says here in Romans 8 and verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So he clearly gives the difference between the spiritual mind and the carnal mind. The carnal mind isn't interested in God, in his ways, his word, period. The same as you weren't. Until God touched our lives, and suddenly there's an interest in God, an interest in his word, in his ways, walking with him. What's happened? The mind has been opened. The veil has been taken away. The scale from the eyes, now we see. And so he works now within us so that he works that deliverance. And that deliverance is also that we might learn more of God. So all the while you're getting that deliverance in your mind, your thinking, it's all so that you can see more of Jesus. That's why the apostle speaks about that we're being changed from glory into glory. That change, that metamorphosis word, which means to change, means that it's also a deliverance, a change. And that's what he does with the mind. I mean, our minds are different from when, say, 6 months ago. Because God is working deliverance on our minds. Hallelujah. And so that is why the helmet of salvation, in salvation, is essential, and we keep that helmet on. That helmet is not to be taken off. Satan wants to try and get it off you. God to do that. That's why when we have the word of God preached to us, we ask when we hear those things that encourage us and challenge us. We ask for God to do that in our lives. What does it say in Matthew 22 and verse 37? In Matthew 22 and verse 37, what does he say here? He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So God knows what he said there. That's the standard that God has set, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. But in order for that to glorify God, God has got to work a deliverance in us, because it's never going to happen otherwise. You're not going to love the Lord with all your heart, where your mind is concerned. And then certainly the powers of darkness aren't going to let you do that. So God in his mercy, preserving the mind, sets about deliverance. That is why it is so essential, brothers and sisters, you sit under the word, an end time message of faith, overcoming life, deeper life, because it's in that you're getting that deliverance. There's a lot of teaching today, yes, it's good, but it's not really working deliverance amongst the saints. How do I know? Because you see so many in meetings running up week after week, laying on of hands for the same old thing, and nothing happens, nothing changes. Hallelujah. And that's why we appropriate this by faith. Now, God showed this to Israel under the law. And this is what he's doing with us now spiritually. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 to 4. Isaiah 26, verses 3 to 4. 26, verses 3 to 4. Right, 3 and 4 of Isaiah 26. Actually, take it from verse 2. Open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yahweh the Lord is everlasting strength. Here we are. This is what he does. For he brings down those who dwell on high, the lofty city. He lays it low. He lays it low to the ground. He brings it down to the dust, and the foot shall tread it down. That's where bringing down these fortresses. Here's the idea of how God does it, so that your mind can have peace with God. My peace I give unto you. How can you receive that peace if your mind is in turmoil? God knows that. God knows exactly the nature of Satan and how he tries to attack man's mind. So these fortresses have to be broken and brought down. Same with the children of Israel. When they were to go in and possess the promised land, the land speaks of peace. Their first fortress they met was Jericho. And Jericho had to be destroyed. Completely, that was the command that was given to Joshua. To destroy men, women, children, livestock. Everything had to be burnt. And of course that was Saul's problem. He didn't do that as king. But that was the command of God. Now a lot of people say, how can a loving God be so stern like that? Because no giant, nothing could remain, because they were going to enter into peace with God, the promised land. And so you take that over to the spiritual, and God says, I am going to destroy everything that attacks, that opposes in your mind, that is opposite to my will, my word, and so forth. That is why this is such an important area in our Christian walk. And I just wonder how many Christians are actually aware of this. So many are held in the mind and the thinking. That is why you see God gets us to walk humbly before him, to keep those knees bowed, confessing, walk close with him, because all of that is part and parcel of God working that deliverance, casting down those fortresses, those strongholds that war and attack against man's mind, you see. So what is man's mind under deliverance then? I'm just going to give a few areas. These are all areas you know very well. But these are just some of the things that the Lord is working with us. And he's working deliverance from fear, because fear has torment. It's a big one. but he's working out every wrong attitude, every door that's still open, where fear can get in and the enemy tries to get in and hinder, and so on. Rejection. He's working and closing all the doors to rejection, so that you are not held. You don't compromise under rejection, because that's what the nature of rejection always does. It will get you to compromise. Rejection will always get you to look to someone. And often with rejection is idolatry. Because instead of looking to God, you look to man, you see. And then the area of pride. Well, pride comes in all forms, same as fear does. Often, you know, these come in different ways. But God has to break down that fortress of pride. And most of us have come out of backgrounds of pride. Our parents were pride. Their parents were proud. And so it goes on. And it can manifest in different forms and ways. But God has to break those fortresses of pride down, because he can't have that. Wrong doctrine. Wrong teaching. These again are areas of where deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons, work and lodge on the mind, the thinking, the attitude. Again, he has to do a lot of deliverance from that. This was a big major problem that Jesus was confronted with through the scribes and Pharisees. The early church, the apostles, they were ever hindered by the Jews, who had wrong thinking, wrong teaching, and couldn't accept the message of grace and forgiveness and faith. And you have it today. It's no different. It's still around us. And then, of course, there's rebellion. The world is held in rebellion. We put on the news, and pretty well every day we see something of rebellion in some way or form or another, whether it's rebelling against government authorities, you name it. Rebellion holds so many things. Rebellion holds violence, aggression. Rebellion holds uncleanness, drugs, alcohol, lying, you name it. It all comes under that rebellious sort of nature and culture. And then another area that we address so often is in the area of anxieties, just being anxious. You may have had a mother or father that weren't really happy unless they were anxious. They could have something just to be anxious about, or they weren't happy. God's delivering you from that. We have no need to be anxious at all. Luke 12:28-31. Luke 12:28-31. If then God so clothes the grass which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows what you need of these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. God, do you know God is getting you to a place, is delivering you from anxiety, where you're eventually going to come to a place you're not going to start praying, fasting, interceding about where we're going to pay that bill next month? Are we going to have enough money for food? Will we have a meal on our table? So it goes on. You're going to come to a place where you don't even pray about it. It's there. Because you're so seeking the kingdom, you've got your mind set on far greater things. It's growing up, you see. Who wants to keep your mind set on? Are we going to have a meal? And will that bill be paid at the end of the month? What bondage? God's delivering us from that. Now, of course, we all have to start somewhere, obviously. But he's delivering us, closing the doors to those anxieties, because that's exactly what anxiety does. Anxiety is a terrible thing for eating away, keeping you in unbelief. Because that's what it does, that's why the devil uses it. So what is God looking for, as we bring this now into its conclusion? What is God looking for in these last days? Well, I brought this out on Sunday, and I'll bring it out again in Revelation 2 and verse 23. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 23. And here it's speaking to the church at Thyatira. And he says, I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Isn't that interesting? That the Holy Spirit, and not only that church at that time, but we take principles from this last day, the Holy Spirit is searching the minds and hearts now of believers. And in order to do that, he provides. And he provides deliverance for that very thing. Now, why did he address that to Thyatira? Well, it's a corrupt church. It's corrupt because they've allowed that woman Jezebel, that false prophetess, to come in and to offer up strange sacrifices, Kutch. Was allowing the spirit of Jezebel, doesn't necessarily have to be a woman, it can also come through a man. But it's a ministry where it causes the church to look to idols instead of looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what are these idols? Well, these idols are the idols that the world looks for and relies upon. And we know what those idols can be. Your house can be your idol. Your car can be your idol. Your husband can be an idol. Anything what you put before God and you rely and depend upon, that is idolatry. And so God is delivering us from these idols. And a lot of these idols are wrong thinking. The mind is open to them and has to be closed, delivered. That's why you see sometimes we've tried to trust God and not take the medicines, but to trust him, stand upon the word and make a positive confession, and so it goes on and everything. But the problem being is, you're not yet delivered in your thinking, your mind. Your mind is still open. Yeah, but what if? Well, I can get the medicine anyway. The mind is still open. And that's why you battle. That's why it hasn't worked. And so, you see, faith knows when you're in faith. Because faith is pure. It's a holy seed. It's a mustard seed, but it's holy. It's pure. It's whole. And you know when you're in faith, because you know the mind is closed. It's not under attack. And the moment you're under attack, what are you doing? As it says in James, you're wavering. You might as well just go and take that medicine and just keep before God until you get that deliverance in those areas in your mind and thinking. Now, God is speaking to some of us tonight in this. I said this will come out differently tonight than it did even on Sunday. That's the marvel of the anointing, the Holy Spirit. But this church was judged for her idolatry. And in order for us to be delivered from this idolatry, whether it's trusting in the gods of medical science or the gods of insurance and you name it, that the whole world looks to, God says, I search the minds of the hearts. That's the deliverance. Praise God, we can't go wrong in this. We're all standing in there as God's working with us. This is why we're not to judge one another. You know, in the past we've judged, oh, well, look, he went to the arm of the flesh, didn't he? Only to find that 5 years later, you've gone through a similar trial, and what did you do in the end? You went into the arm of the flesh. See? Because that's proving the mind isn't yet conformed to Christ's mind. Tells us, gives it away. So it's a work, the same as he was presenting and challenging this to this church at Thyatira. What was Jesus' mind and thinking now as I bring this to an end? Well, some of you guessed it. Let's turn to Philippians. The book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. And here we are. Let this mind be in you, which was also in who? Christ Jesus. So he had the mind. His mind was worked on. And what was this? Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, and that the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, both of those in heaven and those on earth and those in the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here we are. What was Jesus' mind? Let this mind be in you, which was also in him. So if we're one in Christ, in union, then it's going to be exactly the same. What was in Christ is going to be in you. And so he works that in you. For what? Being in the form of God, did not consider it to be robbery to be equal God, made himself of no reputation. He took on the form of a slave, a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men. So he didn't come in as some mega film star, you know, like so much of what you see today. No. Quietness. Didn't make a fuss. Just behind the scenes, in the wings, and so on. And that's how we're to walk. That's how we're to be. We're not to make a fuss. God doesn't want out of overcomers making a grand entry. There's some people feed off making grand entries. Hey guys, look at me. What do you think today? You know? No. That's not the mind of God. That isn't the mind that Jesus had. So he wants us to have that mind. But these thoughts that attack the mind, they have to be demolished. They're like fortresses. Because the mind has to receive the peace of God, which spiritually speaks of the promised land. And so God is working that peace in our mind, where the mind, the doors are closed to all those oppressions, where the enemy's had a hold in our mind. It's now been demolished. God had to give up the children of Israel in the wilderness, and they perished because they confessed, they revealed what sort of spirit they were, and they as good as said, we are not going to take those fortresses because we can't take them. And the reason we can't, because there's giants. So God couldn't work with that. He can't work with that confession. It revealed their minds, their hearts, their thinkings had not changed. They weren't a new creation in God. And so he gave them up. And Joshua and Caleb, who were of the right spirit, who made a right confession, he used them with Joshua and those 20 and onwards under. They were the ones then to go in and possess the land. But history shows us in the Bible that even Israel, under Joshua, they didn't destroy all the giants. They didn't take all of the land that was rightly to be theirs. And even Israel today suffers the same problem. She hasn't yet all the land that was promised to her. She's still in unbelief. She's still in idolatry, looking at the giants instead of looking to the Messiah. But one day they will. Mm-hmm. And when their eyes are open and they see the one whom they have pierced, then the land will be given to them. We now spiritually take that land. We're entering in. And in order to do that, deliverance. And we have to take the fortresses. And so those fortresses are those wrong doors, those attitudes that are still open in the mind that are being closed. Amen. Amen. Father, tonight we again bless you. Father, we thank you that you again have spoken to us. You put hope in our hearts. Lord, when at times we just feel we're just going under, or our minds are being taken over and oppressed, you just show us where the victory is. Thank you, Father, for opening your word up tonight to us. Lord, all those areas to our minds where they're still open and the enemy tries to attack are being closed in Jesus' name. Because as you have overcome, so we also overcome in all things. And so, Lord, tonight I thank you again for our fellowship. Thank you for bringing our brothers and sisters into the room. Bless them, preserve them, keep them in the faith. Let their faith fail not. Thank you, Father, for the healing and deliverance tonight in this word. And Lord, we're going away different people than when we arrived, because we've met with Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank you tonight for your presence, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.